2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Hey there. Welcome back to the Hot Sheet Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks for various reasons, but Jeff and I are back. Jeff and his palatial Boston cave. If you can't see this because it's the podcast, but he is blacked out like he's in witness protection because of the lighting situation in his cave. And I, like the classy prince that I am sitting on the floor in my living room at my coffee table. So that's the situation here. Jeff, how's your last couple of weeks been?
It's been good, man. Been busy. Got home from Seattle, was out there for the Futures game and the draft. Took a few days off as I got reacclimated to East Coast time. You know, I was out there just long enough to switch the clock internally and then had to switch it back. So that took a little bit, but then, you know, headed out to some games in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, right after the deadline, or excuse me, after the All-Star break, and then we're leading up to the deadline. I've been doing some Cape Cod League stuff, kind of my final looks of the summer. Got out there for about three or four games over the last week, which is nice. I really enjoy the Cape Cod League environment, being able to shoot film there, and it's a great way to see maybe 9 to 12 players in a game that you might be ranking and talking about within a year. So I feel like it's a very foundational activity for me, that it gives me a good foundation on which to build evaluations and my thoughts and perspective off of. So enjoy that. And then tomorrow I ship out to Florida, and I'm going to be down there in the Tampa area, hitting up Florida State League games, but more importantly, Florida Complex League games. Going to see that Yankees team, going to see the Blue Jays. Plan is to see the Phillies and the Tigers, and might sneak another one in there as well. Have a few different options in terms of where I could go, what I could do. But that means I'm going to get some first-round picks. Going to get some spicy and exciting young Latin players, which I know you and I both are always interested in learning more about those guys and how they fit into our system. So I'm excited for that.
Like, if I'm going down there, I don't care about the draft picks.
Like, I do.
Not even a little bit. Like, we've just written 8 billion words on most of them. I don't care. If they do something nice on video, fine. But other than that, they're just scenery.
You don't want to go see Max Clark ripping it up for the Tigers?
Not even a little.
I want to see a bat flip in like an 11-1 FCL game where it's like everybody is checked out, but Max Clark is still playing it like it's the World Series. That's what I want to see from Max.
You joke about that, but the last time one of the more recent times I was in Florida, I did see a legit brawl. At the very end of the game, it was a play at home plate, Astros and I think Mets, and whoever it was came in a little rough, and it was a good brawl. So like, there was a little bit of a seventh game of the World Series action to it that you're referring to there. But no, I do not need to see Max Clark. But Ben and Carlos have seen Max Clark approximately 80 billion times. About the only thing that would change is the Tigers uniform. You know, that's about it. But you're going down there, you're going to see some fancy dudes. I might go down there at some point. I thought I was going to, but I could not make the travel work. And I think it's like, if I had to put odds on it, it's about 5% I go, 95% I don't. Just based
odds.
Based on travel and money and all sorts of things. I don't know if I can make the timing work, because this upcoming issue is Best Tools, and I have 5 leagues, and the FCL and ACL top whatever lists. I haven't determined how many they're going to be yet, but you know, I've got preliminary ideas, and you're going to see some guys, and I'm going to make some calls once the deadline smoke clears and scouts are not pinging around like, you know, crazy ping pong balls. I can actually sit and talk for a little bit. So I've got a lot on my plate this issue. And then at the end of the month, I'm going back to the West Coast for little bit of working vacation, see some Eugene Emerald, see some Hillsborough Hops, see some Oregon Ducks football. You know, one of those three things isn't going to matter for Baseball America, but I'm going to go there regardless. I am interested to see how the Autzen Stadium area handles a football game and a baseball game on the same day. It should be fun. But in any case, yeah, that's what my next couple of weeks look like. We kind of did the end of the show part at the beginning. So this is a nominally hot sheet podcast. So let's do some hot sheet talk. This week we had an interesting list compiled by yours truly. And one of my favorite players on this list. Let's start with one of your favorite players on this. Okay. Number four, Jacob Melton. You told me he had a great week, as sometimes happens in Asheville for hitters. You are a big fan of Mr. Melton. Give me your Jacob Melton soliloquy, and I swear I'm not passing him off to Jeff because he's an Oregon State Beaver.
Yeah, I figure that might upset your sensibilities as a Duck. But yeah, I like Melton a lot. I think, you know, in terms of feedback and what we've heard for the organization, they definitely value him up there in the top, you know, 3 to 4 players. And that top 3 to 4, 5, 6 has gotten a lot better over the last year. The 2022 draft has been good to them. And one of those players that they drafted was Melton, I believe, with their second pick. Left-handed bat, pretty athletic. It's an unusual swing. Aesthetically, it's not that pleasing. He'll get your awkward, gangly Birdman Hunter Pence sort of comps, which everybody that has an awkward swing does. But he's really tooled up. There's legitimate power there. He's hit for home run power. I think it's more than just Asheville. We dig into some of the numbers a little bit deeper. He's got a 482 X slug, 89.5 mile per hour average exit velocity. His 90th exit mile per hour exit velocity, Josh, is 107. It's 107. He's hit a ball, legitimately hit a ball 114 this year, 10% barrel rate, good angles in terms of his attack. His chase rate, 26%, pretty solid. Miss rate, 25%, so about 75% contact rate. In zone, he's above 80% in terms of in zone contact. And he's not a passive swinger. He's got a decent chase rate, and he swings 49-50% of the time. So he can be aggressive at times. That tells me this is a guy, especially if you watch him, you'll see this. This is a guy that spits on stuff outside the zone, stuff that's not hittable. Hittable pitches, he's attacking. He's going after him, and he's making hard contact. And, oh, by the way, he's an excellent base runner. I think he's got 30-something steals already this season. So this guy is a legitimately, I think, and this isn't even going out on a limb, 2040 guy this season, should probably see Corpus Christi. They've been dealing with depth, you know, in terms of the upper minors and a lot of outfielders and only so many spots to play him. So Melton hasn't been promoted, but I think he's certainly hit at a level that he deserves to see Corpus Christi sometime in the next month or two. He's been really, really good. So Melton, I think, is a little sleepy. I think that considering his pedigree, how much he got paid, what the production has been, played at a big time program, was a big time performer there. I think he's gotten a little bit underrated. Melton's definitely somebody I like a lot.
There are two significant splits here. Yes, there is an Asheville split. It's 190 points of OPS difference on the road away from Asheville.
As it should be.
And against lefties, it's about 200 points of OPS. He's hitting 195, 327, 341 against lefties this year.
So you're telling me that a lefty in his first year in pro ball is struggling to hit left-handers?
I am telling you that.
How many at-bats does he have against left-handers?
Let's see.
41. So it's not a lot. I mean, if he ends up a platoon guy, fine. Still walks. And I had this conversation about Colton Cowser about a month or two back with a longtime scout. And it was a good point where he's like, if it's a strong time side platoon split, the guy has defensive value. He gets on base and he can run. You're talking about what? 2 at bats once a week? three at bats once a week. You're not going to see that many lefties. And then when you factor in the three batter minimums now, I don't think it's as much of an issue as it used to be.
Those are good points. I'm just pointing out
that he has to improve on, though, for sure. I mean, if he was hitting lefties at the same level he's hitting righties, I'd say he's probably a top 50 prospect then. He's probably – the numbers are so absurd. He's probably in AA hitting and ranked in the top 50. So, yeah, I mean, I think for what he is, he's outside the top 100. But I think he's a guy that's not that far from the back end.
Well, we'll talk about next a guy who is a top 50 prospect, and that is Ethan Salas. JJ, who wrote the capsule for Salas this week, put it exactly how I want to say it. Quote, "It's hard to fully understand just how far beyond the norm Salas is." That's it. I mean, it's what he's doing is silly. It's cuckoo bananas. It's nuts. I don't understand how this young man is this good this early. Dude turned 17 this year. He has 9 bombs, which, I mean, 9 bombs in low A and 180-ish at bats while having a July to remember. As JJ also points out here, he doesn't qualify for the California League leaders yet, but his 292 batting average would rank top 10, and his 532 slug would be the second best in the league. Like, this kid is a mutant. I really have no other way to put it other than I thought it'd be hard to top how he looked in spring training, but he's done it. There's not enough superlatives to shower on young Ethan Salas. Like, I don't believe in untouchables, but this would be the closest thing, I think, in their system. Jeff?
Do you think he's a top 10 prospect?
Yes.
I think I do too.
I think he'll be number one at some point.
Yeah, I think, like, if you're looking at like fantasy baseball, he's still a catcher and he's far away. So, like, yeah, okay, I see it. But like real life fantasy, I think he's legit. Like
real life fantasy.
my real life fantasy. But in a matter of like, you know, real life evaluation, like, yeah, he's a catcher that can hit, right?
Yeah. As an aside, you said real life fantasy, and I'm gonna take a weird digression here. I saw an ad yesterday where you can now bet like real money on fantasy teams, which
really,
oh man, we down the gambling rabbit hole if that's what we're doing. If you're not even betting on real sports teams, you're betting on other people's fantasy teams. My goodness. Anyway, you said real life fantasy and it triggered that. Point is, Ethan Salas is really, 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 really good. And I suspect that at some point he will be the number one prospect in the game. I also don't think it would be, I'm trying to think, could he reach Fort Wayne this year? I can't remember if they made the playoffs in the Midwest League, but man, it's really fun. And Bill Mitchell and I, shout out Bill Mitchell, the greatest photographer / correspondent BA has. We're doing the seance to get Ethan Salas into the Arizona Fall League. So let's hope that happens. But before that happens, well before that happens, we have to take an ad break. So we will do that right now.
I love staying busy, especially during the summer, going to games, concerts, shows, whatever is happening in my area. But what I don't love is making plans ahead of time. So shopping for tickets just got a little bit easier with TickPick, the original no-fee ticket marketplace that brings you the best prices for all the events that you love. And now TickPick is partnering with Zip, so you can shop now and pay later. Zip allows you to shop at TickPick and split your payment into easy installments. Visit TickPick.com and use promo code ZIP20, ZIP20, for $20 off your first purchase of $199 or more with Zip. Zip can only be used for U.S. purchases, and Zip may charge a fee at checkout. Certain merchant, product, goods, and service restrictions apply. See Zip's terms of service at www.zip.co-us. Loans through the Zip app are originated by WebBank, except for Zip-originated loans in Colorado, Nevada, Massachusetts, and Maryland.
And we are back. So we are going to move down the list a little bit and talk about someone else Jeff likes. Jeff, who was next on your list to talk about? You could talk about Ryan Clifford. I know you're a booster of him. If you want to just keep it all Astros all the time for your section of the podcast today.
All Astros all the time. You know, I like Clifford. I think, you know, it's not a bad pick, but I feel like I've talked about Ryan Clifford all season long at this point. I've talked about him so much. So I do kind of want to, switch it up a little bit here. And
all right. Defy my orders.
Yeah. I'm going to defy your orders. I'm going to switch it up and I'm going to talk about somebody different that I think is kind of interesting. He's in your system. It's Augustin Ramirez. I like him because my middle name is his first name. There you go. I bet you didn't know my middle name is Augustin. So I'm a big fan. I saw him down in Florida State League back in April. He was really good in that series. It's probably the only Tampa hitter that was worth really digging in on and watching. Sorry to Jared Cerna, your guy out there. But Ramirez, to me, you know, is pretty good behind the plate. He's pretty athletic back there. There's feel to hit. There's some approach. And there's big juice. It's a great swing. When he gets a hold of one, it's launched out like all these Yankee swings are. But he actually has some feel to hit. He's been tremendous since he was promoted to Hudson Valley at the end of June. I don't know if people realize this. He's actually matched his production from the first 3 months of the season, home run-wise, in a month. In Hudson Valley, he had 7 in the Florida State League, which, you know,
I will note
asterisk there for the Florida State League. Understand, he's got 7 now in a month with Hudson Valley. I'm not saying this guy is a huge breakout, you know, top 100 prospect, but he's a good player. He's a good player in this system, and I think he's probably somebody that gets, you know, a little underrated because he's not one of these headline guys.
Two things: one, part of the reason he is able to, yes, he does hit balls extremely hard. The power is not a thing, a problem for him. Right. However, the Southern Division of the South Atlantic League is full of homer domes. And he was at one of them this past, I think he hit 3 home runs this past week.
Yes.
It is not difficult for a professional baseball player to hit home runs in Hickory, where he was playing this week. The Hudson Valley Renegades and Hickory Crawdads in 6 games, one of which was shortened by rain, hit 26 home runs. So it is a bit of a bandbox. So that's part of it. That's not to undersell him, just to kind of note, he went from the Florida State League to the exact opposite of the Florida State League.
But I think, like, when we put this into perspective, it's not the Texas League. It's not the PCL. It's not the California League. These are still East Coast parks that deal with other factors that West Coast parks are not dealing with. The ball is not traveling. Now, granted, I get it. Hickory, all that. But, like,
Greensboro,
this dude hit 7. He's got 14 home runs this year. He hit 7 in the Florida State League, which is an awful place to hit. Especially in those Clearwater area parks. Clearwater, hold on.
Clearwater is a fair hitter's park. So take that one off.
Are you down there? I mean, dude, I think you're underrating the marine layer and all the other
stuff. I'm just saying Clearwater itself does play pretty fair. The other ones are mostly. Well,
it's not Bradenton, fine. But these, once again, you're not in Amarillo here. None of these parks are Amarillo. Yeah. I mean, they're not
playing Amarillo, high desert. Like Greensboro and Hickory and Asheville are all pretty close. Like, it's you sneeze on it. I mean, there was a quote from, I want to say it was Solometo.
This is the time of the year where I am clueless, apparently.
Solometo had a quote after he left Greensboro where he said, you know, if he had to describe his time in Greensboro, it would be that Key and Peele, like the sweating gif every time the ball goes in the air. Like,
yeah,
Tim Elko hit a ball there yesterday, or not yesterday, a couple days ago. It was a pop-up, and Will Matheson did get his glove on it, but, like, you're watching it, and you're going, no way. No way. Oh, it's gone. Anthony Garcia hit a ball like that in Hickory where it was just like, oh, he just touched it. Oh, it's going to keep going. Oh, he's going to trot. Okay. I mean, Alex Vargas hit one that was an absolute, that was a real home run. But there are pop-ups that go out in some of these parks. And, I mean, Asheville, I put on the list. We all know what Asheville's like. It's just Homer Dome Central in the South Division of the South Atlantic League.
Well, what, how
I'm not trying to take away from Augustin Ramirez at all. We've gone into a weird discussion about park factor. Like Augustin Ramirez a lot. I told people I know that they need to come see him. Like I was legitimately annoyed.
He's good back there too. Like he's a legitimate catcher too.
No, that's the jury's out there. I can't say that on first-hand experience, but from talking to people, first-hand experience would be me catching. But it's back and forth on that one. But I unfortunately saw two games.
He moves pretty well back there, yeah.
I saw two games, and one of them he DH'd, and the other he didn't play. So, you know, I had someone on Twitter said, I would love to get your opinion on his catching. Sorry, can't help you there. And the day I didn't see, he got three hits and caught. So, you know, that's how that works. I instead went to Kannapolis to get Luis De Leon, who is our helium guy this week, and he went one inning amid trade discussions. So it was a banner week for me picking which games to go to, especially considering one of those Hickory games was, I think, five innings. Yeah, it was five innings, ended by a monsoon. And that was Drew Thorpe. I was really excited to see because all he's done is dominate this year. And to wit, he gave up three home runs in five innings and allowed eight earned runs. Now, I've said a lot about Hickory and how much of a bandbox it is. But if you go look at those home runs that I posted, those pitch locations were middle-middle, middle-middle, and middle-middler. Like he did not have the location that day. So he came about those home runs fairly. Point is, this last 3 days of mine in Hickory and Kannapolis did not reach the conclusions I'd hoped to reach. This is all a very long way of saying we're both intrigued by Augustin Ramirez. He moved into my Yankees top 30 at the deadline at the last time we updated them, and he will stay in there unless the Yankees somehow add 10 prospects in the next, at this recording, 7.5 hours. That we're going to add draft guys, adjust for trade deadline additions, yada, yada, yada. And any graduations that have happened in the interim, like since the last time we updated different system, Luis Camposano has graduated. Henry Davis will have graduated. Luis Matos will have graduated.
Luis Camposano graduated?
He most certainly did.
We didn't throw a party. We were supposed to get champagne.
I can't afford champagne and I don't drink. That's right. BA podcast listeners, the bear is a teetotaler. I've bought one beer in my life and it was to kill fruit flies. So, and it didn't work. Anyway, that's a very, very long, very weird digression from Augustin Ramirez, who we both agree is really intriguing. I posted a slow-mo swing video of him and I'll post this fast-mo swing video of him. I tried to earlier, but hotel Wi-Fi made the computer crap out a little bit. But I have that ready for a little bit later. We can move down the list a little bit more to a guy everyone and their mother knows I like. And that is Jackson Chourio. And what a month he had. What a difference playing with normal Delaware mud rubbed baseballs makes. Because with the pre-tacked baseballs that messed with nearly everybody that were not named Tyler Black or Noel V. Marte, he was human. And I don't know what those baseballs, I don't know. I mean, I know they mess with spin rates and all sorts of things. But my joke is that they must have been like wiffle balls fired from a t-shirt cannon, because they really wrecked havoc on a lot of hitters. Once Chourio came back from the Futures game and minor league all-star break, he has been on fire. He finished the month hitting like 380. He had 10, possibly more importantly, he had 10 strikeouts this month. As I noted in a tweet, there were 35 players last week in the minor leagues who had 10-plus strikeouts. It's the lowest total for any single month of Chourio's short minor league career. And he had 33 hits this month, which ties him for the most hits in any month of his minor league career. That was the first one, the one where he kind of jumped on the map in his first month at Zebulon. And the most impressive thing is, like I said, he missed the time when he was at the Futures game in Seattle and the four-day minor league All-Star break. So it was 33 hits in 21 games. I assume he's the Southern League Player of the Month. If he's not, I'd really like to meet the guy who is. But he went bananas this month, and he's four home runs away from going 20-30. He tied Giancarlo Stanton, hat tip to Kurt Hogg, a reporter in Milwaukee. He tied Giancarlo Stanton's mark for Southern League home runs by a teenager, or a double, I think it's double A home runs by a teenager. No, Southern League home runs by a teenager. 16 already. And if he gets to 20-30, he will be the first teenager in the minor leagues to do that since 2017 or 18, when two guys named Acuna and Tatis did it. Those are pretty good baseball players, I think.
Pretty good.
But pretty good baseball players, right, Jeff?
Not bad.
Point is, I think we're going to have a good long argument in the offseason over which Jackson is the king of the minor leagues. I know, and everyone listening knows exactly where I'm going to place my chips, but it's going to be it's very fun to
Jackson
have.
Merrill.
It's amazing how many good Jacksons there are. It's really weird.
Jackson, I feel like it drops off after that.
Say what?
I feel like there's three really good Jacksons, and then it drops off.
Hey, there's some other ones. Jackson Chourio, Jackson Merrill, Jackson Holiday, Jackson Jobe. Pretty good.
That's true. Okay, we got four.
Four. Jackson Ferris. It's five.
He's not in the same level as those.
He's not at the same level. He's good. And his name's Jackson, and it's spelled the same. This ain't no Jackson Wiggins situation. It's Jackson and Cades are the new names that are like the hot names. But
we're gonna have the Cadening very soon, though.
We are gonna have the Cadening. I do appreciate these days where you see like the 17 or 18 year old who has the name of like a 55 year old middle manager. Those are the guys I really like these days. You get like Eugene Montgomery or something. Like, what the heck? You're a teenager with that name or whatever? Or, you know, whatever. That's kind of a thing I like anyway.
Yes.
The thing is, Jackson Chourio, really, really, really good. And I'm just stunned at how much those baseballs made a difference. Because, you know, I had a lot of chips placed on Jackson Chourio being really good. I opened my mouth a lot on Twitter last year, and to see him be pretty human in the first few months of the AA was, you know, I had that same Anthony Solometto sweating Key and Peele gif going. But this last month, this is better than what I assumed it would be. Like, this is bananas. I'll say too, that I've made a grievous mistake in my travel planning. So I'm going home, like I said, to the Northwest League at the end of August. Well, that, friends, is when AAA Nashville, the Brewers affiliate, comes to Durham. I think there's a fair chance Chourio will be there. So I will miss him. I will be watching the Eugene Emeralds and the Oregon Ducks and the Hillsborough Hops, which seems like a mistake on my part. So I all the Durham people who are here, J.J. Cooper will go out possibly if he's there and enjoy him. Oh, kind of as another Chourio aside. If you're going to watch MILB TV tonight, because of unfortunate situations, he will be facing Pensacola tonight and Yuri Perez. So, cool matchup. Chourio got him last time. He homered opposite way off him. I don't think anybody expected to see that matchup again, but we're not going to say why Yuri Perez is back in the minor leagues, but he is, and it's unfortunate. But if you want to watch a really good prospect versus a guy who was a really good prospect and no longer counts as one, tune into MILB TV tonight. Jeff, that was a very long talk about Jackson Chourio. Who else do you want to talk about?
Ooh, I don't know. I might get yelled at.
Spicier than
anyone else.
Spicier than usual for me, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, dude. You're definitely a little bit more spicy than usual. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, the rest of this list, it's like Dom Hamill, who I've seen, he's fine. Fastball is okay. There's a breaking ball there. There's a curveball and a slider, actually. Nothing, you know, that is mind blowing or anything along those lines. Talked about Melton. I talked about my boy, Agustin Ramirez, where I'm slightly delusional.
I went out of my way to say you're not delusional.
No, I might be.
I said I agree with you.
It was April, man. I don't know. I'm not exactly. No one's paying me to go and judge catcher defense either. So
I didn't say anything except that.
No. You know who I was actually interested in hearing more about is Everson Arteaga. Had a good week.
Arteaga, baby, what's up?
Yeah, he had a good week. He's been pretty rough this season. What happened there? I mean, I know there's some power. It seems like he's doing like nothing else this year, though, besides hitting.
Yeah, it's tough, man. The Northwest League is a little tougher, and he's still very, very young. He was. I think they played in. No, they didn't play in Spokane this week. I guess he just had a good week. I mean, the when I saw him, the swing decisions weren't great. That's pretty much the long and short of it. Just hasn't been his year. Maybe next year will be his year. Maybe he's going to turn it on the second half. But
he's still really young at 20, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's still 20. He's still young. Plenty of time. But it just hasn't been his year. I wish I could offer more, but hasn't been his year. So good. The Helium guy, like I mentioned, I went to go see. I was really excited to go see him. And unfortunately, one inning because of trade deadline stuff. And, Baltimore's probably hot and heavy in there with some teams. He gave me the one inning, and I thought, all right, the fastball looks pretty heavy. So he'll get some ground balls. Yeah, I was right. He's gotten in three Carolina League outings, he's gotten 20 grounders to two flyouts. And I will remind you, those who didn't hear what I just said 2 seconds ago, one of those outings is one inning. So he's got two real like starts and one quasi start. 20 ground balls to two flyouts. Pretty intriguing from a left-hander who throws mid-90s with a pretty good changeup. And I hear there's a slider in there, but did not get to see that in the inning that I saw. So nice little piece to add to Baltimore's system. I'm going to post a video of him later today.
Like they needed another good prospect.
Yeah, they got a good system, man.
That's the toughest system because there's probably 40 or 50 guys in season that I could reasonably rank and write reports on. And it's like, you got to get it to 30.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some systems where it's like, I've got to get this to 30. And you've got some systems where it's like, wow, I've got to trim this to only 30.
Just that one. The Cardinals are certainly not the case with that one.
I don't believe I have a system where it's like you're going to have trouble trimming it down. But there are some out there. The Orioles are like that. The Dodgers are like that.
The Rockies, honestly, the Rockies, it's not as good on the back end as the Orioles or the Dodgers, but they're still like viable prospects that are.
Yeah. And they've had a rough
Red Sox too.
Days, but
the Red Sox have had a really good season in terms of development on prospects in that system.
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of guys that have taken a step forward, a lot of pitchers that weren't really on the radar, and it always sticks with me. I'm not positive here, but I think it was it Keith Law? There was somebody who had said the Red Sox didn't have any pitching in their farm system and wasn't totally wrong before the offseason. And now it's like they must have taken that to heart because like all of these pitchers are taking a massive step forward. this season, like whether it's Luis Perales, Rodriguez Cruz, there's a lot of arms here. They're really interesting.
Oh, I'll tell you what happened. I didn't get to watch them. I watched all three of those arms you named this year, and they all had disaster outings for me. Every last one of them. And since then, they've been, bordering on Cy Young. So, I apologize, Red Sox fans. I will never set eyes on your prized pitching prospects again because
stay away.
Yeah, stay away indeed. I think the most I got out of one of those guys was like six outs. So, wow. Yeah, it was little disappointing for the video too. But Wickelman Gonzalez has been really good since then. Luis Perales has been really good since then. Elmer Rodriguez Cruz. Been decent since then. Wickelman Perales was on my 50 guys to watch from minor league spring training, and Rodriguez Cruz was the back of the FCL top 10 last year. So those guys have been on the radar. Just, you know, they don't perform when I have my camera set on them. So
I would say we should wrap this up because we're going to have trades to start writing up, I'm sure, many very shortly, and none have come through while we're recording this. I think we should
take that. Well, if we just keep podcasting forever, there won't be any, right?
We should take, maybe. I got things to do. We got to take it to the bank. We got to cash it in. We made it through the podcast without having to write up any trades in the middle of it. So
I wonder if any of the prospects we mentioned on this podcast get traded today.
That would be awesome.
I think
Austin Ramirez.
I could see any of the Astros ones you mentioned because they're in deals, I think.
Yeah.
I do not imagine Ethan Salas or Jackson Choria are going anywhere. Luis De Leon, you know, like I mentioned, he got pulled after one inning. Dun, dun, dun. You know, that was a major. That's the one thing I've constantly said I've never seen in my career is a guy get traded and, you know, get hugged mid-game. Thought I was going to get it, didn't. But, yeah, we should wrap this up. I usually say what I'm going to do this week. I don't know. Bowling Green's in here. Fayetteville's at home. I think that's it around here, and maybe trying to buck those odds and go to Florida at some point.
Do it.
It's got to make sense.
It makes sense.
For Jeff, I'm Josh. He's the parrot. I'm the bear. This was Hot Sheet Podcast. Bye.